Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're in Philippians chapter 1. The section is verses 3 to 8, but our particular part that we're in is verses 3 through 6, the foundation of fellowship. Fellowship is the theme of the book of Philippians. It is what Paul is teaching on, the necessities for fellowship together. We are already united in Christ. If you have received Christ, you are united with everyone else that has received Christ. It's not something you have to produce. It's not a place that you have to arrive at. We are already there. But there are things that interfere. There are things that hinder our fellowship together that we already have. And Paul, in his introduction, gave us a hint as to what his solution and what his teaching and instruction for this situation might be, as he introduces himself and Timothy as slaves of Jesus Christ. Well, if he's an apostle and he's the slave, then what am I? We are all servants of one another, set apart for God's purposes and set apart for God's use. So Paul says in his prayer in verse 3, he says, I give thanks to my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every petition of mine, on behalf of you all, making petition with joy. So the first thing we study is the commendation of Paul as he thanks God for these believers. Every time he remembers them, he thanks God for them. But he does it with joy, that is, with satisfaction. If you ever have time, read Hebrews chapter 13, which talks about those people who cause turmoil for the leaders. And the writer of Hebrews gives warning to those who are giving trouble to leadership, is that do not grieve those in leadership as they care for your soul. Paul, in various instances, very few, but in some, he gave thanks with joy over believers. And we studied verse 5, the characteristic of all saints. One of the reasons why he could give thanks for them, he says, upon your fellowship toward the gospel from the first day until now. His letter is written approximately 10 years after his first visit, after his first evangelical campaign. So it's been 10 years that they have continued in the activity of the gospel from the first day until now. And last week we studied that characteristic. It's all through the Scriptures. In John 8, 30 to 32, Jesus said to those who believed him, he says, if you continue in my word, then you are my genuine disciple. So continuation in his word and continuation with the Lord is the characteristic of the genuine believer. Matthew 24, 13, Jesus says, the one who has endured to the end, that one will be saved. In the Greek text, it is an expression of a characteristic. The person who has endured, that's the one who's going to be saved. Why? Because God's Spirit is in them. God will bring us to the end. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, which we'll take a look at this morning again, along with Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, that we are sealed by God's Spirit until the day of redemption. Ephesians 4, 30 as well, sealed by God's Spirit for His coming. But 1 John 2, 18 and 19 says that just the opposite. Those who go out from us, the reason why they went out from us, we're not talking about from church to church, we're talking about leaving the truth of Christ and going into something that is not the truth of Christ. They went out from us because they were not of us, because had they been of us, they would have continued with us. But God has manifested they were not of us. Somebody can act like and talk like and be like everyone else and then just one day leave and go into false teaching. It's God manifesting who are of Him and who are not. I cannot continue. I cannot endure to the end without the Spirit of Christ being in me. Can't do it. But it's the characteristic, and Paul said, I can give thanks upon your fellowship. It's been going on since the day you received the Lord, and you just continue on in this fellowship from the first day until now, and I thank God for you. But today, verse 6, the confidence of Paul, and it's all based on verse 5. This is very important. Verse 6 says, literally the translation is, having been persuaded or confident of this very thing, that the one having begun a good work in you will complete it or perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I've heard people state this who have left the things of the Lord, and they tell people, I have the promise of God that because I'm a Christian, God will fulfill and perform His will until the day of Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter what I do. But what I do reveals whether I'm a genuine believer or not. Because God's Spirit's not going to let me go do whatever I want to do. What causes me to continue and what causes me to endure is the Spirit of God disciplining me when I go astray. It is His faithfulness to those people, to the people who have the characteristic that they are genuine believers. This is not for all religious people, but for genuine believers in Jesus Christ. Paul can say, and this is a perfect tense verb, I have become persuaded. Perfect tense of patho, which is where the word pistis, faith, comes from. From a time in the past until a condition now, Paul has confidence. He's, I'm persuaded about you. He can't say that about everybody. He can only say that about those who have endured and continued with the gospel. He told the believers in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians, he says that I had to send Timothy back to check on you because when you received the gospel of Jesus Christ, great persecution came upon you, and I was convinced that you are genuine believers because you received the Lord and the truth of the gospel in the midst of being threatened with persecution from day one. The whole city came down on the new believers right off the bat. So he sent back to see how they were doing. And he says, I received word, you're genuine. How does a person receive Christ and receive the truth of His word and the truth of the gospel from the very first day and receive persecution for it, suffer persecution for it, and endure and remain? with Christ. I mean, hypothetically, I look at my first day of being a Christian, the first day that I received Christ. If I would have gotten persecuted for it, I would have said, I give up. You project yourself into situations where God's grace isn't there, but you project yourself, your person, in there, and you go, I give up. God's grace would have caused me to continue because somebody would have explained to me, yeah, this is what it's like. You're now going against the spirit of the God that's of this world. Satan's people will catch up with you sooner or later, but for the Christians in Thessalonica, it was sooner, the very day. So when he heard word back, yeah, they're still with the Lord, Paul's like, wow, that's the real thing. Not because of them as people and their performance, but because God's spirit in them. They surrendered their lives to Christ. The Lord wasn't going to let them go. He's faithful. They're being persecuted because of him. So he is faithful to them to keep them. So because they were people who continued, and that was their characteristic, he says, I can give thanks for you over that with confidence. Of this very thing, that the one having begun a good work in you will perform it or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What a statement. Let's break it down. Here's the confidence that the one having begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. Notice the emphasis. God began the work. I didn't begin the work. God began the work in me. And the one having begun that good work in me, the promise is he will complete it until Christ comes. How can you say he won't? He's God. And if he says, here's what I'm going to do. You surrender your life to me, I will cause you to endure. I will cause you to make it all the way to the end, no matter what you have to go through. The one having begun a good work. Secondly, notice the kind of work. A good work. This is the word agathos. And in the scriptures, agathos good is the good that God's spirit produces versus kalos, the good that man produces. Kalos is good human work. I didn't say Carlos. Kalos. Okay. Kalos is human good. I could do some human good. I cannot produce the good of God. Only his spirit can do that. So the good work that God himself has begun in me is his work. And notice the place in you. Not around you, not in your possessions. Not even in the world around us, though he moves in that area in order to accomplish his purposes, but the good work that he began in me. He will perform it. He will bring it to its completion. That's a promise. Factual statement. He will bring it to completion. Whatever he started, he will complete it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. I have to bring this in because I'm 10 minutes early. First Peter 1, 3 through 5, Peter says, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has given us a birth again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, that is reserved in heaven for you. Those of you who are being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation." God's power is guarding and keeping me, period. If, conditional clause, if I make it to heaven, it'll be because of the faithfulness of the Lord, period. If I get there and my name's not in the scroll and there is no condo for me, then it's because I trusted and based on my own work, my own beliefs, my own religious activity, my own performance. And it wasn't good enough. I don't even belong there. I don't deserve to be there. Jesus provided that qualification for me. And the only way that I'm going to enter into heaven is because God's Spirit is in my spirit. When my spirit leaves this body and you're left to bury it or do whatever you're going to do, play darts, I don't know what. But when I leave this physical body, God's Spirit, being one with my spirit, is going to bring me into the presence of the Father. And because his spirit is in me and I am in him, that's the reason I'm going to enter in to the presence of God. It won't be me and him. It'll be us together. We'll be one. I used to think I would have to say, "I'm with him." And then hold on tight as we go through the streets, because we get separated. It's, "What are you doing here? Why?" He was just right here, honest. You know. But no, we're going to be one. He's in my spirit now. And it is his spirit in me that keeps me and guards me and causes me to endure no matter what in the physical realm in circumstances happens to me. There isn't anything that can happen to me in this world that would separate me from Christ. Never. Nothing. Zero. They can kill my physical body. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing. Satan can't. Death cannot. Situations, problems, nothing. And he will keep me through it all. That doesn't mean he will protect my human side from being affected by the things of the world or suffering hardship or persecution. But in my spirit is perfect peace because Christ is there. In my spirit is perfect joy because Christ is there. In my flesh, there isn't. So that's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, is turn inward into the inner man where Christ dwells. You can tell where our focus is just by somebody asking us the question, "Well, how are things going today?" "Oh, don't even ask me." Everything out here is just topsy-turvy. Now, everything that can go wrong has gone wrong. And one of the most spiritual words in the human language that you could ever speak is the word whatever. What about this? Whatever. I mean, I could get into it, but even Jesus says, don't be anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you should drink or what you shall put on. How are you going to change things in your life by worrying about it? Everything is designed by God for me to trust Him and experience Him, sustaining me through everything. So if He designed it, He's got a time frame, He's got an answer for it, He's got a purpose for it. What can I do about it? I can't do anything about it. So how are things in your life today? Which one? The inner man or the one out here? Because the one out here, I don't even want to talk about it because it's hurricane season. And there are mattresses and papers and everything flying all over the place. So But in the inner man is constant peace and joy in the person of Jesus Christ. Confidence, calmness, quietness. Remember, we're talking about Isaiah the prophet, and the same message to Ahaz, the same message to us. God says, here's where you went wrong. In returning to God and being confident and calm is your strength. But you would not. This threat to you came from the outside, so you reached over here in the horizontal to try to combat that, and you emotionally and psychologically and physically, you're all caught up in it. And yet God says, be still and know that I'm God. I'll take care of it. But why do we insist, not that we say it with words, but we say it with actions, is I'll take care of it, Lord, but when I can't, I'll call on you. You know? Why not just trust Him? You know, why not just put it in His hands? I'm not at peace when I trust Him. It's just that when I trust Him, I'm getting rid of this thing that I'm focused on, and I get back to the inner person where Christ dwells. He is my refuge. He is my shelter. He is my rock. He is, as Isaiah said this morning, He is my sanctuary. I'm like using language that we'll get later on in Philippians. I'm like a motorhome, fully self-contained. That's what Paul saw himself when he says that he has contentment. It means to be fully self-contained. I don't need anything else. I have everything I need right inside. I have to deal with things out here, but I don't need to get caught up in it. It's just, you know, the things that we're dealing with today, 10, 20, 30, 50 years from now, what difference is it going to make? We'll look back and go, wow, I was really caught up in that. And it passed. It's gone. We have new things to deal with today, but everything passes. And we experience Christ in one situation after another before we go, hey, you know, He really does sustain you. Hey, He really does cause you to endure. He really does keep us and guard us. And then you become more confident in Him. That's what it's all about. We know it in our minds, but to experience it in our life, Sometimes you have to go through several situations for God to manifest himself and say, see, we experience him, he sustains us, and we get to experience him in the situation. To where you arrive at a place where hopefully you can say that whenever things come in around us, we can say, whatever. Don't you care? Sure. But I care to get me out of the way. I care to put it into the Lord's hands. I care to trust him to work out his plan, not mine. Because I live inside, not out here. So it's the focus. We try to bring everything out here into the Lord. Oh, Lord, you don't understand what's going on. He's in here going, in here. It's like if somebody was standing out in the street in a rainstorm and they're crying out to God saying, I'm getting wet. And I'm standing at the door, over here, got a towel, you know, new roof. Get out of the rain, and they won't come. That's what God does with us. He's not going to stop the rain. He's just going to say, come inside. Let me dry you off. Let me start a fire. Let me sit down and have some fellowship with you while it's raining. And then what do? You know? We prop our feet up. We dry ourselves up. We say thanks a lot. And then we look up the window. Wow, look at that storm. That is really, you know, we just relive it again from the inside. It's like, no, let it go. Let it go. It's not a psychological exercise. Paul says, for those of you that have the characteristics of a genuine believer, the ones who are enduring, who are continuing because Christ in you causes you to endure, to you I have confidence and I have been persuaded that the one who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a promise. Well, look out there. It doesn't look like God. No, it's inside. He's my anchor. The anchor doesn't stop the storm. It just keeps you anchored in the midst of the storm. When the storm passes, we're still in Christ. Christ is still in us. Nothing has changed spiritually. Nothing can change it. Except God himself, and look what he promises. In Hebrews chapter 13, the Lord says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. That's good enough for me. He just has to convince us that he is worthy to be trusted. That this is not a religious exercise or a psychological exercise, but he is living. He is the living Christ. He is real. He's alive today. He is a living spirit living in our spirits. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We thank you that your word gives us and reveals to us your character, your faithfulness, your provision, and your promise. Though all things on the outside, we become fearful and frightened and insecure, when we become unsure about the future, We pray that your Spirit would bring us back to Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who will never leave us nor forsake us, who has begun this good work in us, and who has the responsibility and gives the promise that he will bring this good work into completion up until the day of Jesus Christ when he comes for us. We can't have better security than that. And yet most of the time it's a belief in our head. It's not someone we know, nor a relationship that we know from within as we look to the things without. We pray that you would constantly and continuously cause us to experience Christ and the sustaining power of Christ, and bring us to live more and more by faith, trusting him, putting our confidence in him, and be calm and to be still, and just to know that he's God, that he is doing whatever he has planned to do. We pray by your Spirit you would teach us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.